to pay for Chase.
Abstract number one. Repeat head CT for anticoagulated patients with initial negative scan is not cost effective. And this is by Borst et al. From surgery. So traumatic brain injury affects an estimated 1.7 million people annually in the US alone, and elderly patients have the highest relative rates of hospitalizations and death. Now, the evaluation and management of elderly patients is further complicated by the fact that they are more likely to be on anticoagulants than their younger counterparts, introducing this concept of a delayed head bleed. Current guidelines and most society positions generally recommend that all patients who come in on anticoagulation get a head CT. So the first one, everybody agrees, no matter how minor the trauma, you scan the head. But recommendations are much more mixed for the next steps, ranging from let's OBS them for some arbitrary period of time, let's repeat scan everybody, to let's just discharge them and let them OBS themselves at home. The literature estimates the risk of delayed bleed to be somewhere between 0.3% and 6%. So kind of a wide range there, and also suggests that the risk is highest for patients on warfarin and lowest for patients on the antiplatelet agents. The authors of this study, who interestingly are trauma surgeons, so these aren't like ED docs who don't want to do these delayed scan protocols, provide us with the biggest and most complete view on this topic to date by presenting data from a consecutive sample of patients on anticoagulants over a 5-year period where their local hospital protocol mandates a repeat head CT for all patients 6 hours after the initial scan. Antithrombotic medications included anticoagulants, warfarin, the DOACs, heparin, enoxaparin, and antiplatelet agents, aspirin, clopidogrel, all the other antiplatelet things, aspirin, etc. But Plavix is the one that made up most of these. The exact chart review methods are not described in full detail. Basically, it says the medical record was reviewed for evidence of a clinical change in neurologic status at the time of the repeat head CT, but doesn't really say how that was done or there's like some consistency or kappas in the way that was looked at, but there you go.
So poor chart review methods.
It's Journal of Surgery, a little bit poor chart review methods. They identified 1,676 patients presenting with blunt head trauma on anticoagulants between 2014 and 2019, of which the initial head CT was negative in 82%. So 18% had a positive head CT right up front. The median age was 77 years, about half were male. The median GCS was 15 with a range of 14 to 15. So like I said, these were pretty minor head injuries. And the most common mechanism of injury by far was a fall, about 80% of the patients. In terms of what they were taking, about a third were taking antiplatelet agents, split nearly 50-50 between aspirin and Plavix-like agents, and two-thirds were taking anticoagulants. 40% of those were on warfarin, 30% were on DOACs, and then there were some combos and a few other things. So of those with an initial negative head CT, 12 patients, or 0.9%, developed a delayed bleed. 7 of them were on warfarin. And they kind of say that, you know, well, that sort of goes along with the literature that, you know, more of the warfarin patients had a bleed. But actually, if you look at sort of the relative percentages, that's not true. It was 1.3% of all patients on warfarin versus 1.1% of all patients on the DOAC. So relatively, actually, they were about the same. None of them had a change in neurologic status. But like I said, the method in which they looked at that was a little bit suspect, but there were no interventions performed on any of the bleeds that were identified. Although the confidence intervals were pretty large, there was a statistically significant difference in mean INR between patients on warfarin who did have a delayed head bleed versus those that did not. Those that did had a supertherapeutic INR of 3.7, and those that did not had a mean INR of 2.4. Their focus in this paper is on cost. And they say that the CTs cost almost $1 million, like just shy of $1 million, all these excess CTs. But in truth, this is a really, really low cost estimate because it does not include the cost for OBSing these patients, right? Keeping them in the hospital, and those who may have gotten care, even just further OBS, because of a positive second scan that they didn't do anything about. So some of the strengths of this study are that it is the largest to date on the topic, it includes a big portion of patients on DOACs, and it removes the potential of selection bias for these second head CTs because per hospital protocol, everybody got a second head CT. Most of the limitations are those common sort of chart review-based studies, in addition to no effort to make any long-term follow-up on any of the patients coming from their single-site study. So they report that based on their data, they have changed their own internal policy. So they don't do this repeat head CT anymore. They do a little bit more of an observation policy now. So they're still not sending people home, but they're just sort of saying, hey, if you're one of those places that's doing repeat head CTs on everybody, stop. It's time to stop. Stop the madness. Stop the insanity.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. I mean, that's what we've seen with now, I don't know how many papers, maybe I want to say almost 10 probably papers on this subject that keep showing the same thing. A consistent but low rate of delayed rebleeds somewhere in that 1% to 2% range, most of which don't require any surgical intervention. And therefore, you know, if you're looking at this, it seems like there's no reason to keep 100 people there to find one bleed or something like that that people don't intervene on.
Yeah, there's been a lot of papers. There hasn't been one recently. I kind of looked through our database. We haven't covered one for a little bit, actually. And like I said, people have always like, they found a fault with all of them. They're like, well they all have faults. You didn't scan everybody. Yeah, you know, Here they scanned everybody. They didn't have that many DOACs. And here they had a lot of DOACs. So This one gives us, I think, the best picture, the most complete picture. And even here, they're saying second scan.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with what you're saying. The only reason I highlight that there's been a lot of other stuff is this is really consistent. So everything we've been saying all along, this isn't like, oh, everybody else said you had to repeat scan. The bleed rate was 20%, something like that. And now we've got this counterbalancing thing that says 1%. So who do you believe? It's all pointing in the same direction, which is low, you know, rate of rebleeds. And when there is a rebleed, it's very uncommon that they need anything like a neurosurgical intervention.
Yeah, and they didn't get into it in this paper, but some of those other papers talk about sort of the time window of those bleeds too. And they can be like discovered a week out, 2 weeks out. So, you know, even thinking about like a 6-hour observation period is really just pulling a number out of thin air.
Editor's commentary.
In this retrospective study from one hospital where all patients on anticoagulants with head trauma get a second CT by mandatory protocol, although the bleed rate on the first scan was 18%, supporting the use of an initial scan for all comers, the observed delayed bleed rate was 0.9%, and none of these patients required any form of intervention. Although not addressed in this paper, other papers have shown that even if a delayed bleed is going to occur, many will occur outside any reasonable observation period. This is more strong evidence refuting a mandate for delayed CT after some arbitrary observation period. Return precautions are key, and patients with supertherapeutic INRs may deserve special consideration.